Pray with me. You are worthy of it all. God our Father, we love you. You deserve everything that we are, and we give ourselves to you. As we pause to study your word, Father, give us peaceful hearts to desire the knowledge that you want to give us. As we focus on your scripture that will change our lives if we let it, Father, I pray that we let it. No one is in this room by accident. We're here to hear from you today. Let the words that are spoken be yours, and give us ears to hear. Ears to hear a message that will make us different and more like you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. I want you to ask yourself a question. I want you to examine a belief of yours as we journey through the book of John this morning. The question is, what is forgiveness? What is it? What does it look like for you? What does it mean? As we journey through this morning, an incredibly important life lesson. Let me get us up to speed with where we were. Last week, we fed the 5,000 in John chapter 6. Immediately after that, he walks on water. And in throughout chapter 7, he is teaching. And it's a place where he runs into some resistance, really for the first time. People turned away from him because he was giving them truth. Most people were coming for the show, and now he's giving them truth and telling them who he is and what he expects. And then we come into chapter 8. It's a story that we know well, but maybe we haven't looked at it from the perspective we're going to look at it today. So as we prepare for this, let's watch and set our minds at where we are.
Then everyone went home, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early the next morning, he went back to the temple. All the people gathered round him, and he sat down and began to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman who had been caught committing adultery, and they made her stand before them all.
Teacher! This woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. In our law, Moses commanded that such a woman must be stoned to death. Now, what do you say?
They said this to trap Jesus so that they could accuse him. But he bent over and wrote on the ground with his finger. As they stood there asking him questions, he straightened up.
Whichever one of you has committed no sin may throw the first stone at her.
Then he bent over again and wrote on the ground. When they heard this, they all left, one by one, the older ones first. Jesus was left alone with the woman still standing there. He straightened up.
Where are they? Is there no one left to condemn you?
No one, sir.
Well then, I do not condemn you either.
Turn with me to chapter 8. There are three characters in this passage of Scripture, and you and I have been all three. The first is the sinner. Look with me at John chapter 8, verse 1. Said Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he went back to the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down teaching them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery, and they put her in front of the crowd. "Teacher," they say, "this woman was caught in the act of adultery." Here's our first character. It's the sinner. You and I are the sinner. Okay? Now let me tell you what sinners do. And it's what you and I have done looking at this story, I can almost guarantee you. We look at this story and we say, well, where's the man? How did they catch her in the act? They had to know she was this has been set up. See, it's a way of reflecting away the sin. Because at the end of the day, she's guilty, right? Regardless of anything else, at the center of this story is a sinner who is guilty. Whether she got caught, set up, where's the man? It doesn't matter. You and I are the sinner. Guilty. Guilty as charged. Pick your sin, we're it. There's another character here. It's the accusers. Look at verse 5. The law of Moses said to stone her. What do you say? They are trying to trap him into saying something that they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. It's a question I got when I get to heaven. What was he writing? I want to ask him. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up and said, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned, throw the first stone." Then he stooped down and wrote in the dust again. This second group, the accusers. Let's call them the rock throwers. You and I have been the rock throwers. Anybody ever sinned against you, hurt you, hurt your family, made you angry, stole from you? Yeah. Yep. We all been there. The rock throwers, ready to condemn and stone the sinner. Who is guilty? You've been hurt. They're guilty of it. You've been taken advantage of, stolen from. Your family's been hurt. Maybe your kids have been hurt. And you're ready. Rocks in hand. There's another character. Look at verse 10. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" Verse 11, "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." So we have a sinner, we have accusers, rock throwers, and we have a forgiver. Now, what did Jesus tell us to be? Forgivers. Why did he tell us to be forgivers? Because we're sinners. We've been here, so he's saying, when you're not there, be here, not there. You follow me? Now here's the interesting thing. You're always here. Never let yourself forget that. You're always the sinner. You cannot be a forgiver and an accuser, ever. You are one or the other. We like to say, "I forgive you." But still like to throw rocks. You can't be both. The other interesting thing is that we need to wrap our head around. If you're here throwing rocks at a sinner there, who are you also throwing rocks at? The forgiver. It's an incredibly hard lesson for us to learn, but an unbelievably powerful one. What does forgiveness mean? What does it mean? When someone is standing at this spot and you have been hurt immensely by what they've done, you can either go that way or this way. You can't go both. And what does it mean to come over here and be a forgiver? What does that look like? I want to take you back to October the 2nd, 2006. I want to tell you the story about a pastor. His name is Eric. He got thrust into a position of choosing between being a forgiver or an accuser in an unbelievable circumstance. Watch this story.
You see, we prefer to wait until we feel like forgiving. But if we do that, then our lives are dictated by our feelings.
At the fire department, we work 24-hour shifts. And that particular day, we didn't get hardly any sleep. It was literally like 3 or 4 seconds to nod off and to cross the center line and to meet the other car.
To forgive us, we don't think it's fair. Forgiveness is a choice, not a feeling.
I'm supposed to be a helper, the EMT and the paramedic and the fireman. that helps in these tragic situations, and here I am caused this.
See, forgiveness makes us victorious. Maybe in your heart, you know the right.
Two men of service, one a pastor, the other a rookie firefighter, forever bound in tragedy. For them, it's hard to believe over a decade has passed.
I can still see it. I can still smell it. The horrendous noise and the glass breaking.
When the grief counselor approached in the hospital, Eric Fitzgerald knew his wife, June, was gone, leaving their 19-month-old daughter, Faith, without a mom.
Faith is sitting there playing on the little hospital bed with the nurse, and of course she sees me, and as she reaches out, I don't know what she understood, really, but she crawled into my lap, and she just went to sleep. And I was thankful, because I didn't have to pretend that everything was okay.
And I was at the hospital, and a police officer came in, and he said, I don't know if anyone's told you, but June didn't make it. And then he also told me, he said, and by the way, she was 7 months pregnant, and the baby didn't make it either.
Eric, you had the opportunity to really say to the judge, you know what? I think this guy deserves some hard time. What did you do?
I remember somebody said this in a sermon. In moments where tragedy happens or even hurt, that there's opportunities to demonstrate grace or to exact vengeance. And I chose to demonstrate grace.
The men knew of each other but endured their grief apart until the 2-year anniversary of June's death. Matt Swatzel had stopped by the grocery store to buy a condolence card for Eric when he spotted him in the parking lot.
Eric starts walking out of the grocery store and starts walking towards my truck.
What do you see in the window?
He was just bawling.
Yeah.
And so I just walked up and I just hugged him. I mean, what do you say? You know, sometimes things are best said with no words.
That hug must have felt like someone had just put a pin in 2 years of pressure.
That was the biggest relief I'd ever felt. He just said from the start that he forgived me. And just hearing him say those words, it just impacted my life completely.
They talked for 2 hours that day. And where you might imagine the relationship would end.
I said, man, I don't know what you're going to say to this. I said, but I just feel like in my spirit that I'm supposed to stay connected to you somehow. And he's like, dude, I feel the same way.
We knew it was something special. We just had this instant bond. It's unexplainable. It's just easy to talk to each other.
Man, look at that deliciousness.
We would just talk about life, you know, just how we're doing and just moving forward. And he said, look, don't let this define you. Meeting with Eric, it gave me hope that we're going to be okay.
Sports Illustrated, baby.
Oh.
As the years unfolded, strangers became friends and something even more.
I'm witnessing a little bit of a miracle with you two sitting here together.
There's a bond that we have that's unexplainable.
He's like a big brother to me. You know, we have a lot of fun together, you know, as weird as it may sound and crazy, but we do. It's just unique. I can't say, this is a beautiful story and it's got a great ending. It doesn't. It's nasty, it's real, and it's something that I'm going to struggle with for the rest of my life.
Both men view their friendship as a sign from above. Another sign? Years later, Eric remarried and was expecting a child. The baby was born on the same due date as the son he'd lost.
Forgiveness is not minimizing the offense.
Eric practices what he preaches and raised his daughter, Faith, to choose love over anger.
So next year, that means you're going to play varsity.
Most likely.
Yeah.
I usually just say my mom got in a car accident. I just don't want people to think that Matthew's a bad person because he isn't. He just made a mistake.
I just want her to know that she's loved. She's not alone. Dang it. Throughout her whole life, I'll be there for her. no matter what. So just seeing Faith, you know, holding my kid, it puts a smile on my face. It hurts, but it's the cards that we were dealt. And now it's our story together. It reminds me that there's grace and there's hope and there's good.
I mean, June's in heaven, you know, and one day, you know, we'll get to all kind of hang out. And so, you know, God's a big God. And I think that's going to be a great day one day.
I'll tell you, it's easier to forgive somebody who wants to be forgiven, right? But there are people in your life, in your story, who have hurt you or wronged you, who don't want to be forgiven. And when that comes up, where are you going to be? Are you going to be over here or over there? Because here's the thing that we like to say. I forgive you, but I'll never forget. You know what? Let me just be real honest with you. You haven't forgiven them. You haven't. Because you still got that rock in your hand. Ready. You still tell that story of how they hurt you or they hurt someone you love over and over again. And every time you tell that story, you throw another rock at them. Because when you're over here as a forgiver, the sin is not as important as the sinner. Over there, the sin is the only thing that matters. What they did to you, that's the only thing that matters. Over here, the only thing that matters is the person, their soul, their heart. So I got a test for you. If you want to know where you're at, whether you still got rock in hand and ready to throw it at them, or you're a true forgiver, you want to go to Waffle House with them? That's what Eric did. That is an unbelievable story that only happened, did you catch it? Because Eric, the one who lost his family, saw the one who hurt him in the grocery store parking lot and went to him and hugged him. It didn't happen for any other reason than the forgiver made the first step toward the sinner. You know what that does? That releases you of the burden. Because I'm going to tell you one of the things that so many of us will struggle with our entire lives, because we got these rocks in our back pocket. We're expecting non-Christians, non-believers, to act like Christians. And we can't forgive them for that. We expect people to know better when they don't. And so we're so focused on the sin that we can't see the sinner. And when Jesus stood up from writing in the dirt and looked that lady in the eyes, he didn't see her sin. He saw her. So in all the things that have gone on in your life and the people that hurt you and the story that you're waiting to throw another rock at, let me tell you what that person did to me. I forgive them, but let me tell you. You're just throwing rocks. Because what Jesus wants us to be, because we are sinners, is to be forgivers. Now, do you have to take them to Waffle House? If God tells you to, yes. In Matthew chapter 10, chapter 9, verse 10, you don't have to go there. When Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, a tax collector, and sinners came to eat with him and his disciples. You see, Jesus didn't see the sin. He saw the sinner and was willing to go to Waffle House with them. You know why? Not because of the sin. The sin is ugly. Your story, your hurt, your pain, it is ugly. And it is going to be with you probably till the rest of your life. But you have a choice. You can have a bag full of rocks ready to throw at that person again every chance you get. Even when they're not around, you just tell the story. Or you can put the rocks down, go over to Jesus' side, and be a forgiver focused on the sinner, not the sin. You know who you're hurting by throwing rocks? Yourself. Because what Jesus wants from us is to love like He loves. And that's one that is a choice. Despite what the person has done, He still loves them. I'm going to close with this song. Listen to the words.
Truth is, I need to learn a lesson. What it means to really lay my life down. Quit to judge, quit to be defensive. Walls up, I'm easily offended. But I know I really need a heart change. I just wanna love like Jesus. The kind of love that don't need a reason. No strings attached, no questions asked. You give it all and you're never gonna take it back. It's not for me to say who's worthy. Everybody needs His grace and mercy. Cause I just wanna love like, love like, love like Jesus. No more starting wars with someone different. Cause Jesus never had conditions. I wanna learn how to give what I've been given. I just wanna love like Jesus. The kind of love that don't need a reason. No strings attached, no questions asked. You give it all and you're never gonna take it back. It's not for me to say who's worthy. Everybody needs His grace and mercy. Cause I just wanna
Jesus, the kind of love you don't need a reason. No strings attached, no questions asked. You give it all and you're never gonna take it back. It's not for me to say who's worthy. Everybody needs His grace and mercy. Cause I just wanna love like, love like. I said a little more kindness, patience, gentleness, self-control, peace and joy, goodness. Oh Lord, help me love. I said a little more kindness, patience, gentleness, self-control, peace and joy, goodness. Oh Lord, help me love. Love like Jesus.
Stand with me. My prayer as we leave here is you want to love like Jesus and not really throw rocks. Let's pray. Father, let us be lovers of sinners like You. Even the ones that hurt us deeply, let us love them like You. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.